You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Hello, this is David Diga Hernandez. Perhaps you're praying for a loved one and you want them to receive Jesus. Maybe they're stubborn. Maybe they're resisting the gospel message. Well, I want to show you from Scripture four keys on how to win the lost. Let's believe that God will save your loved ones. So, four keys to winning the lost. Number one, the key is to present the truth. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1 says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins." Luke chapter 5, verse 32 says, "I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Now repent of your sins and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped away." Acts chapter 17, verse 30 says, "God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and to turn to him." Something you'll notice about all of these scriptures, there's an urgency in preaching the gospel. And you'll find a common theme is that God is calling us to call people to repentance. Repentance is so key. It's so integral to the preaching of the gospel, and we must declare repentance from sins. Now, we are not trying to offend people. Offending people is not our goal. In presenting the truth of the gospel, offending people is not our goal, but neither should it be our deterrent. People aren't turned off because you present the gospel in the wrong way. You often hear it said, well, don't preach about sin, don't preach about the cross, don't preach about repentance, because you might turn someone off to the gospel. I got news for you. They're already turned off to the gospel. People don't resist the gospel because you presented the truth. They resist the gospel because they love darkness rather than light. So we as believers have this responsibility to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in the fullness of truth. Yet preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. I am compelled by God to do it. How terrible for me if I preach not the good news. We mustn't be afraid of presenting the truth. We mustn't be afraid of offending people. I would rather offend someone into heaven than comfort them into hell. I'd rather give somebody the good news because that is the ultimate demonstration of love. One of the number one complaints against people who preach the truth of the gospel is that they're not being loving, they're not being kind. But the reality is this: the gospel is first an urgent message before it is good news. You must give the diagnosis before you can give the prognosis. Nobody who doesn't believe themselves to be sick isn't going to take the cure. You can't say, "Here is the cure," if a man does not believe that he is sick. Neither will anyone accept a Savior if he doesn't believe he needs to be saved. The good news is Jesus saves. But from what does he save us? He saves us from self. He saves us from sin. He saves us from hell. The good news is that God has given us mercy, that Christ has paid the price, and that he's taken the punishment for our sins, absorbing the wrath of God because we're not good enough to do it ourselves, and setting us free from the sin nature. That is the good news. Now, of course, this must be presented in love. Anyone who takes joy in telling someone that they're going to hell or takes joy in making people feel bad about something that they're doing is not doing God's work. No, we are to present the gospel in love. But again, I stress this to you, the most loving thing you can do for someone is tell them the truth. Not with pretension, no arrogance, no smugness, not in a condescending manner. Don't do it in a nasty way. Don't do it in a way that's purposefully mean, but present the truth as it is. Don't try to water it down. Don't try to change it because you're afraid of offending someone. The power of the truth of the gospel is what can set the soul free. This is why we must present it in its fullness. Well, so that's number one, present the truth. Number two, practice purity. In Luke chapter 11, verse 33, the scripture says, "No one lights a lamp and then hides it or puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when it is unhealthy, your body is filled with darkness. Make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness." Verse 36 is key. "If you are filled with light, with no dark corners, Then your whole life will be radiant, as though a floodlight were filling you with light. Here, Jesus is talking about us being light. He's talking about us shining. He's talking about the fact that nobody hides a lamp. We put a lamp out so that it may shine light. In the same way, your life is supposed to be shining light everywhere. Now, if there are no dark corners in your life, then you will shine effectively for the unbeliever to see. The effectiveness of your evangelism is increased as purity is increased. Now, of course, God can use anyone he wishes, and God uses sinner and saint alike. He's sovereign in that way. There are always exceptions to generalizations, but the overall truth is this. When you live a life of purity, there is a potency to you presenting the gospel message. You must become light. You must shine in a way that presents the gospel. You must shine in a way where people can see the light and the love of God in you. And so this is part of our practice as believers. Not only are we to present the truth, but we are to live holy lives. We are to live lives that are full of light. This means we're kind, we're loving, we're gentle. And in that, we are presenting the gospel in its most powerful way. The truth of the gospel preached by someone who lives it out is the most powerfully persuasive evidence that anyone can ever receive for the case of Christ Jesus. This is what God wants to do with your life. He wants to shine you as a bright light in the dark places. Now, sometimes when people have been in prolonged darkness and you shine a light in their face, it makes them uncomfortable. It causes them to flinch. It causes them to be disturbed. And this is what light does in dark places. Light disturbs dark places. So you will be somewhat of a disturbance. This is why the whole world is turning against the church. This is why everyone around the globe, all of the systems are becoming increasingly anti-Christ. It's because we are the light of the world. In fact, we are also the salt of the world. Salt not only preserves, but it can be irritating. Number three, pray for the lost. Here's an example of someone praying for the lost in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel, that they might be saved. Here we see someone praying for a nation, praying for a people that they might be delivered, and you can do the same. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that's key, and I have more teaching on that, but now is not the time. He heareth us. If I am asking according to God's will, God is willing that none should perish. If I am asking according to God's will, God is willing to save the lost. If I am asking according to God's will, God is willing to turn the heart of the sinner by the power of the Holy Spirit to himself. Then I'm praying in accordance with the will of God. And when I pray in accordance with the will of God, there's power behind that. Your prayers for your loved ones, whether you see it working or not, whether you believe it's working or not, your prayers are working. They may say to you, I don't want to hear it. They may say to you, keep that to yourself. They may say to you, I've heard that all before and it's doing nothing for me. They may act like you're not getting to them. They may act like they'll never change. They may act like they're completely closed off to the gospel message. But if you will continue to present the truth in love and in purity, there's going to be potency to your preaching. So add to your purity, add to your preaching, prayer. Prayer for the lost. Look, we can't use pressure tactics. Pressure tactics with evangelism typically produce counterfeit conversions. And we don't want to see people converted in a counterfeit way. We want them to have a genuine encounter with the Holy Spirit. But in order for the Holy Spirit to work, you must pray. If the message of the gospel is a seed, then prayer is the watering of that seed. When you present that seed and then you water it with prayer, you're causing something to grow in the heart of your loved one. So, winning the lost, number one, present the truth. You have to present the whole truth clearly. You can't shrink back. You can't sugarcoat it. You can't change it to fit the palate of the culture. You have to preach it as it is. Repentance from sin, the blood of Jesus, the cross of Christ, the power of what he did in the finished work, all of it. You have to present it clearly. Number two, you have to practice purity. Now, again, I don't believe that people are turned off to the gospel because of what Christians do. This is an excuse that people find. And in fact, they'll wait to find a flaw in you so that they can tell themselves that they have an excuse to reject the gospel, when in fact, they're not rejecting the gospel because of you. They're not rejecting the gospel because of some hypocrite. They're not rejecting the gospel because someone in Christianity was mean to them. They're rejecting the gospel because they love sin, period. That's what the Bible says in John chapter 3. So add to that purity, though, because purity does make you more effective in presenting it. Now, number three is pray for them. You have to give the Holy Spirit room to work in the hearts of the unbeliever. It's a partnership with Him. You preach, He does the convicting. You're not the Holy Spirit. You don't need to persuade anyone. The gospel doesn't need to be defended because it's powerful all its own. Miracles don't need to be defended because they're powerful all their own. You've had an encounter with Christ. That's the reality. The reality is this truth of the gospel. There's no getting around it. Everyone knows it in their heart deep within. There's something that tells them that there's truth to the gospel message. So persuasion is not your job. Persuasion is the job of the Holy Spirit. On a side note, I probably should add, there's nothing wrong with Christian apologetics or Christian debate. That's all good because it helps to disarm the mental blockages. But as far as the blockages in the heart, only the Holy Spirit's going to ultimately be able to get through to them. So again, to recap, number one, present the truth. Number two, practice purity. Number three, pray for the lost. And number four, you have to present the power. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 says, "And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit." Now, Paul the Apostle here is not saying that no preaching needs to be done whatsoever. He's saying that his reliance was not necessarily upon his presentation. His reliance was upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And so should we also be reliant upon the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Demonstrations of the power of the Holy Spirit back the gospel message. Now, if there is no power behind what you're preaching, it's because you're not preaching the gospel. God will only back His message. He's not going to back your message. He's not going to back my message. He's going to back His message. So when you preach the true message, there's power behind it. So to preach the gospel without power is to preach it all on your own. But at the same time, to demonstrate power without preaching the gospel is to point people to the miraculous without ever presenting anything that will bring them to salvation. So we have to present the power with a clear message of the gospel. The word and the spirit have to come together. This is something that our ministry has been committed to. We don't just demonstrate the power. I've seen it done where people demonstrate the miracles with no message, and that is borderline witchcraft because all they're doing is getting together to experience the goodness of that power in and of itself. Without the substance of Christ, you're left wandering in the spiritual realm with no grounding or foundation whatsoever. This is why we need Jesus to ground us in everything that we do. So, you cannot just preach the miracles. Neither should you just preach salvation without the power of the Holy Spirit being involved. It's His work. It's supernatural, 100% through and through. Salvation is a miracle. So you have to involve Him. But we aren't just to go through the streets, pray for the sick, say, "God loves you, there's your miracle," and leave them. No, there has to be a clear call to repentance. There has to be a clear challenging of sin. There has to be a clear presentation of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We have to present it. We can't just hide behind the demonstrations and say God will take care of it. Our job is to preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict the sinner. When we partner with Him in that way, miraculous results occur. So miracles without the message, that's dangerous. So to recap, number one, present the truth, the whole truth. Number two, practice purity. Number three, pray for the lost. And number four, present the power. So that's preaching, purity, prayer, and power. That's it for the lesson. I want to pray with you now. I want to pray that God would empower you with His Holy Spirit to preach the gospel. Look, don't be afraid. Go and preach the gospel. The world needs it now more than ever. Come on, stretch your hands toward mine. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for that one receiving this now. And I ask You, Lord, to touch them, use them, embolden them, endue them with power from on high, and cause them to preach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Back their words, Lord, and give them the words to speak. Help them to come out of hiding. Help them to come out of that fear and timidity, and help them to boldly rise and preach with fire in them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And I want you to say it because you agree. Say amen. Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.